Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I post episodes weekly on Tuesdays on pretty much whatever I like. So welcome. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and on LinkedIn at a Ugandan babe, all one word. Spotify now has a review feature, so go on, pause the episode, rate and review the podcast on there or on Apple Podcasts, and then come back. That really helps me out. Thank you. Today's episode is about a huge part of the reason I started a podcast. If you have been following me for a while, you know that I went through a deep depression brought on by burnout from work. And during the first lockdown, I needed to find a creative outlet in order to reconnect with myself, to feel alive again. So listen to episodes 18 and I think 26 to hear more about that whole journey. And I'll share more on it eventually. In this episode, I want to specifically credit the people and communities that taught me so much and inspired me to start a podcast as the medium for my creative writing. The first is the YouTube channel Smoky Glow, who I started watching because I'm interested in makeup, the online beauty community, and all their drama. It's a lot. She does commentary on the internet space, and I believe she started out doing makeup reviews paired with commenting on goings-on within the community. Now she comments on a whole range of topics, makeup drama, pop culture, current affairs. She even recently did an episode on true crime. She does everything. So in the doldrums of despair, I used to watch her videos religiously. I liked how sensible she was. She's a white woman, but you know those white women who are doing the hard work, you know, who are interrogating their biases, their bigotry, and their privilege, and she's completely unapologetic about it. She's the kind of person who, when she makes a mistake, will own up to it, give a proper apology, and demonstrate that she's actually doing better, you know, to address the harm she has caused, not just lip service. She's transparent about her mental health and how she deals with difficult times. I just like her vibe. And she's a normal babe, you know, living with her life with her husband somewhere in, I think, greater New York State, just vibing. I like her. So I got a lot of inspiration, elements of her style of storytelling from her. When I started, I was a bit stilted, a bit robotic. But I wanted the podcast to have that natural conversational flow. So I got a lot of inspiration in that area from how she tells stories. The other YouTuber whose style I learned from is Stephanie Harlow. Stephanie's whole bag is true crime. That's her whole game. Now, true crime is an interesting one. I do watch a lot of it, mainly YouTube crime, true crime channels and Netflix and Amazon Prime documentaries. It's a very interesting phenomenon because I learned recently that a huge percentage of the audience for true crime is women, which seems strange, right? Because women are so often the victims of these violent attacks that are covered. But for some reason, we watch them all the time. It actually spawned, you know, that TikTok trend from a few months ago where men were memeing their wives, and the premise is that the wife is sitting back, you know, looking relaxed with her popcorn and her wine, and the TV is going. Her arms were cut off, her legs were cut off, her ears were cut off, her tongue was cut off, her eyeballs were plucked out, her eyebrows were then waxed. Her tongue was sliced open. Her hair was cut off. Anyway, describing all this horror. But women are watching it and riveted. And I think it's a curious psychological phenomenon to explore. Why women watch and seem to enjoy true crime content. It just seems very bizarre. My theory is that it's a one place where, you know, women feel safe. They're in a safe space when they're watching it, right? In the real world, we constantly have to be on high alert, and we're always fearful of becoming the victims of a horrific attack and coming to some violent end. So watching it play out in front of you in the comfort of your home, though horrible, of course, at least, you know, you're not the victim. So there's an element of comfort. You're in your safe space. Nothing is happening to you. And it's not that we don't sympathize with a victim, of course we do, but in our reptilian brains, we're thinking, you know what, at least it isn't me. Anyway, that's my theory. I think actually the second part about it is as we are watching, we are learning, right? We're learning all the time. We're gathering information about how to keep ourselves safe. What are the red flags, and can we hone our ability to identify them early enough? That's why I think a lot of women actually watch true crime, but hey, what do I know? So Stephanie Harlow is really good at, you know, giving these detailed accounts of true crime and making the like mundane and technical parts of the story come alive. And she's hella funny. She's got this deadpan humor, which is also balanced. I've never been able to suss out her political views, for example, because she's white American, and I think she also lives in Greater New York State. She could even be a Tea Party conservative for all I know, but she seems to have sense. She's very empathetic. She's very respectful of the stories she tells and the victims and the families involved. So I learned a lot from her. The Ugandan podcast I listen to regularly is Connectivity Podcast, hosted by Rebecca Nanjago. It was recommended by someone I follow on Instagram, and another curator of good content, Athley Marvels. I see you, girl. So I listen to it and I really enjoy it. I like Rebecca's interview style. She's about 29 years old, but seems quite mature. She covers relevant and interesting topics, and I like the flow of the show. And I think that's probably, I think it's the only Ugandan podcast I listen to regularly. Recommend any other good ones, please, and thank you. Then there is Kelechi. Of course, I have to include Kelechi Okafor of the Say Your Mind podcast. Kelechi was recommended to me by my chief curator of good content, who always seems to know where the good stuff is. So years ago, she recommended Kelechi to me. But as usual, I took my sweet time to get into it. I have to be in the right headspace to vibe with it. Well, to vibe with anything that I'm recommended. So I eventually started listening to her. And at first, so this is when I was still new to these European streets, yes. I was just living through racism and microaggressions and not having the language to express what I was experiencing. So eventually, what she was saying started to make sense to me. She is smart as a whip and a gifted orator. She's knowledgeable and funny as hell. But above all, she knows how to pass difficult ideas about how white supremacist patriarchy impacts different communities. An important part of her segment is doing tarot, and she can be quite sweary, but it's one of those things, you know, if it's not for you, it's not for you. Just keep it pushing. She is probably the biggest inspiration behind me taking the podcast route. And I take a lot of Kelechisms from her. I end up using a lot of her catchphrases. I follow her on Instagram, so I will bounce off the topics she covers, especially on British politics. So I have to give her a lot of credit for inspiring me to take the leap. She also got me interested in Formula One, which my chief curator had been trying to get me into for a while. Always talking about Manya Lewis, Verstappen, Bottas, Valtteri. I was like, girl, I don't care. But then I started listening to Kelechi's Start Your Motors segment. And she's knowledgeable, she's passionate. Ah, man, a black woman doing F1 commentary. Absolute class, a whole baby girl. I also started listening to Viewpoints with Brenda. That's actually another Ugandan podcaster. I enjoy it. I don't listen to it as regularly, but I do like it. And I actually got my follow me on, you know, the socials to continue the conversation tagline from her. Credit goes to her for that one. I nicked it because I liked the essence of it, which is that, you know, this is an ongoing conversation. Listen to the podcast, that's great, but it's just my opinion. And I'm interested in hearing from my audience, whether it's on socials or via email, as long as it's thoughtful. Just don't DM me nonsense. I think I've been quite clear about that, especially on my social media, but perhaps not so much on the podcast. I also got inspiration from a number of Black American YouTubers. These guys are in their bag. The one from whom I borrowed my, you know, I talk about whatever I like catchphrase is D'Angelo Wallace. D'Angelo Bambi, he's a baby boy. I think he might be like 22 now. He blew up when he started doing commentary about the beauty space. So his biggest videos are, I think, that the exposés he did on Jeffree Star, James Charles, Tati Westbrook, and Shane Dawson. I followed that drama so closely that 2 years later, when I was doing my episode on them, I think that's episode 21, the one about cancel culture, I wrote that script in like 30 minutes and it was good to go. But those exposés took him into the YouTube stratosphere. He became a star overnight. But unfortunately, because of how things eventually unfolded, he had to delete them, which I think was the responsible thing to do, because he'd really defended James Charles quite a lot. And I think he was coming from a good place, because at that time, James Charles was just a kid, like a teenager. But he turned out to be, you know, a pervert and a predator. Allegedly, don't come for me. That's another phrase I got from Stephanie Harlow. So a lot of the commentary that D'Angelo did, unfortunately, came back to bite him. But I liked his style. He's very articulate for a 20-year-old. He's now mainly a Twitch streamer, I think. I don't see him as much in the YouTube streets lately, but he seems to be flourishing. Then there are some amazing black women on YouTube. Nappy-headed Jojoba is the first one. I think she lives in LA. She's fairly political. So she does a lot of political theory, political commentary, and she's really smart. Sometimes I have to listen to her things twice to properly absorb them. She's funny in that deadpan, dry humor kind of way. I like her. She's not as regular on YouTube now. I think she moved to Patreon because she got sick and tired of all your bullshit. She wants to relocate from the US because she's fed up of being treated like a second-class citizen in her own home. But Godspeed to her, because anti-blackness is almost everywhere. Then there's Tinwa. Tinwa is similar to Nappy-headed Jojoba. I'll tag all of these people in the description box if you want to check them out. She does more pop culture commentary, but she also does some social political commentary, let's say. She's quite good. And then there's Khadija Mbo. My babe. Gambian? I think she's Gambian, Canadian, a dark-skinned, beautiful soul. I would put them in a similar category as Tinwa and Nappy-headed Jojoba, but I love these black voices. They're really shining. And then there's a guy called FD Signifier. He's a black American guy. Every time I'm about to despair about black men with microphones on the internet, I am encouraged by his videos. Very thoughtful, smart commentary on the vagaries of being black in America, I think is fantastic. And then those ContraPoints. I love Natalie, or Nyatalie, as her stans sometimes call her. She seems like she's always one tweet away from becoming an internet Karen. She's such a loose cannon and I love it. She's fantastic. I love her content. Most of it is philosophical or political. She does these long-form video essays on YouTube that are, you know, high concept, where she does amazing hair and makeup against a fabulous backdrop, usually. Usually, I think, Victorian-themed. Well, I say Victorian. I just mean that era of whiteness. I mean, it could be Regency, it could be Georgian, Edwardian. I honestly wouldn't know the difference. But it's like costume, but it's fab. She's smart, insightful. I really enjoy her essays. And she's also given me the opportunity to understand intrinsically that, you know, trans people are just people, not some bogeyman waiting to frighten you in the women's toilets or whatever, which should be obvious, but anyway. And then there's Charles Onyango Obo, who I recently started following on Twitter. So he's a Ugandan author, journalist, former editor of, I think, like Mail and Guardian. Former managing editor of The Monitor. He's a well-known African journalist, right? So he's a political commentator on issues in East Africa and the Great Lakes region, and is just the best person to follow for the latest news and commentary. I love him. So I get a lot of ideas about what to talk about from him and the stuff that he posts. So finally, they're all the people I just talk to day, my friends, because my brain is always running. I'm an overthinker. Like, I overdeep think. I'm very introspective. So I appreciate the people that just talk to me about the things that we are mutually interested in, because I learn so much from you. And there are too many to list, so I won't bother. But thank you, thank you, thank you. This is timely. This episode is timely because this is actually my 50th episode, which I feel is a milestone. I'm so grateful for being able to stick it out and for everyone that has stuck through it with me. I appreciate you. Onwards and upwards. As always, thanks for listening. Give us a like and subscribe to the channel if you enjoyed this episode, and follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and on LinkedIn at a Ugandan babe to continue the conversation. I hope you'll be back for the next one. Goodbye for now.